This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
97.1 FM Talk. On-demand audio.
It is indeed the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk. I'm Ethan Hannaford, filling in for Mark as he enjoys his time off between Christmas and New Year's. But the show must go on. And with that being said, the one and only Paul Hall joining us with Common Guy's Film Reviews, found at commonguy.com. Paul, Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas to you and everyone there, Ethan. You know, I don't have a fruitcake. I kind of bluffed when you called in. I said maybe I had a fruitcake. No, but I have eaten one, and yes, I'm still here. So that's a good thing.
Listen, we don't necessarily bring you on for the food reviews, but I'm gonna throw you a bone here. Like, what's the honest thoughts on fruitcake?
Fruitcake is not good. Fruitcake is one of those things we avoided at all costs at the table. Now, my aunt or pseudo aunt used to make a chocolate pizza for Christmas every year. I miss this to death. It was the best thing ever. It was a pizza shaped oval that was made out of different kinds of chocolate, white chocolate, dark chocolate, milk chocolate with some coconut and some other things. Fabulous thing. And Aunt Edith, we missed you. That was one for the ages. Now, I'll take that over fruitcake any day.
I could get a hold of that chocolate pizza. That sounds absolutely delicious. So Sue was talking a little bit in the previous segment about some of the movies that are currently in theaters for Christmas, and there was a couple of surprises there, and one of them being Mufasa. We'll get to that, but we'll start off with a complete unknown.
They say no one wants to hear what a kid wrote last month.
Well, I like your songs.
Where the winds hit heavy on the borderline.
Who wrote this?
He did.
Remember me.
Timothée Chalamet, Ellie Fanning. Mark has, last week, Mark would not shut up about A Complete Unknown. He absolutely loved it. I asked him the question, where does it compare with, like, The Rocket Man, The Bohemian Rhapsody? He basically verbally chastised me for it, Paul, and said that this blew them out of the water. What are your thoughts overall, though, on A Complete Unknown?
Yeah, can I chastise you, too? Rocket Man and Bohemian Rhapsody were just, unfortunately, they had great music involved with them, but they missed on so many levels. This one is better. I don't go as far as Mark was saying. I think Chalamet is one of the big draws here, along with Edward Norton, who plays Pete Seeger. It's that tale of Bobby Dylan coming to pass and kind of changing music as we know it, as he lived his early part of his life when he went to go meet Woody Guthrie and just start his folk music career that evolved into who he is now. It is one of those films that I wish was better than it is. It's good, but I wish it could have been so much better because it takes you on a journey that just kind of meanders. And maybe that's a little bit of what Bob Dylan is. He's a guy who kind of meanders around. The music is spot on. The music is amazing to listen to. For those of you who are fans of Dylan, get out and see it. I remember recently my daughter came back and said she was working at a theater and people were hanging out through the end credits just to listen to more Dylan music. It's in theaters now. Great time to see it on the big screen and get that full sound system effect, people of all ages are coming because of Chalamet, especially.
So let me ask you this. Is this one that you feel like you have to specifically be a Bob Dylan fan to enjoy it, or would people, you know, younger generations like mine also enjoy this movie?
I think the more you're a fan of Dylan himself, the more you're going to enjoy this. I think those of you who might not have an affinity so much for him, I was never a huge Dylan fan in my lifetime, so I still loved it. That's to be said there. But for a younger generation who hasn't listened to Dylan, you might find some of this just kind of outlandish and not really in your wheelhouse. So it's kind of toss a coin in that area.
Timothy Chalamet.
Okay, you know what? I heard, Paul, the other day, we were having Mexican food for lunch, and there was a woman in the booth next to me who was talking endlessly about how she didn't really know Dylan. Like, I would put her probably in my age category or yours, and she said that she thought Chalamet was so great, and that's what made the movie. So it's interesting because I'm not a huge Dylan fan either, but I think you're right about the Chalamet draw. Because she said she wouldn't have seen it had he not been in it, and she loved it.
Yeah, there's a certain generation now, especially Ethan's generation and those around him, that people like Timothy Chalamet are bringing you to the movies. And it's mainly because what he's done to this point. Quickly, he's established himself as someone who is willing to take some risks with characters and let those characters come to him and just play them on screen. Here he does that. He doesn't try to make Bob Dylan into something he's not. He just tries to get and capture his essence, and I think he does that quite well.
We move on to next, Nosferatu.
Come to me. You've had me spare since childhood. Tell me what you can from the beginning.
It was our wedding. When we turned around, everyone was dead. The stench of their bodies was horrible. Standing before me was death.
Now, Sue Thomas, in the last segment, if you heard this, mentioned that this one is doesn't necessarily get you in the Christmas spirit, but I tell you what, they brought out the stars for this one. Bill Skarsgård, William Dafoe, Lily Rose Depp. Have you seen this movie yet, Paul?
Oh, of course I have. This came out on Christmas Day. Robert Eggers directs. He gave us The Lighthouse and The Northman and The Witch. He's kind of one of those guys who you either like him or you don't in many ways. I know people who love him, and Nosferatu gives you more of what he does well. He gives you that authentic feel to an era, to a time period. He gives you a film that, from the standpoint of, if you could say a horror, Sue or Ethan, is something to look at, it's beautiful in the way it's put together. It's elegant. It's put together in such a way that you want to see how every scene is laid out. That said, this is a film that has a certain audience, and I think the release date on it is questionable at the, I guess at the worst, it's questionable. It's at the best, it's kind of outlandish. It shouldn't have come out at Christmas time. This would have been better released in September or early October. The good news here is you do have some good performances. The bad news is there aren't a whole lot of people that are unfortunately going to sit down with it because it's not the cup of tea for everyone. Myself, I was a little disappointed. I thought it was a little too slow throughout, and I think some of the things were shocking. However, my favorite person here, Willem Dafoe, who I would watch do anything. Here he is. He's just fantastic. So
well, and he's so good at creepy. Good Lord.
Yes. Yeah, he is one of those guys who kind of, we can compare him a little bit to Chalamet in the last film. Chalamet's kind of becoming what Dafoe has established himself as. He can absorb himself into roles that make you remember him, even if his role isn't the top dog in it, which it's not here. He definitely gives you a performance that is memorable, and I think you may hear his name down the road a little bit more in some of the awards conversation when it comes to supporting actors.
You know, so there's a specific, I think I'd say, subgenre within horror that I am a fan of. I enjoy the ones, you know, specifically the Conjuring series, that at least have some sort of touch of the based on some version of a true story. You kind of got to treat that loosely, but I'm kind of curious if this would kind of fit into something that I would enjoy, but this looks like it's even darker than the Conjuring series. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, it's dark. It's darker, and it's not necessarily as horrifying, I guess you could say. The Conjuring series knew how to get under your skin and make that skin crawl, and kind of you could take it as a little bit true, and that's truth will always make it scarier for you as a viewer if there's some truth there. Because this is that gothic period, I don't think it connects as much today with the viewer of today, because that gothic period is long gone. And unless you're willing to take that step out, and there's definitely a community who loves that, and for them, this is going to work wonders in scaring them. But for me, that's not my my scary type of cup of tea. Nosferatu is good, but it's something you can wait to see if you pick it up and see it on On your home streaming service or whatnot.
On to the next, starring Nicole Kidman, yeah. Baby Girl.
So, how did it start?
I see myself as a
power-hungry personality.
You think that's what I am?
I think you like to be told what to do. Sorry, I didn't mean to.
Your behavior is unacceptable.
Is it? We're gonna do this. We need to set some rules that you and I both agree on.
Did you order this?
Starting with, I tell you what to do and you do it.
So tell us about Baby Girl here, Paul.
What?
Well, I'm going to have a little hard time here because I was worried what the clip would sound like that you had to pull. Mainly, the first couple seconds you sit down and you hear this, I'm going to try to keep this PG rated. It was a lot of moaning, and there was a sex scene with Nicole Kidman and Antonio Banderas to start the movie. That transitioned into Nicole Kidman with another form of sex scene. That transitioned into her giving a speech as the CEO of a company. The thing about it is, that shock to get you started brings you into Baby Girl as a film. The film in general is about Nicole Kidman's Romy character, who is a CEO. However, she has a very active sex life along the way, and she quite frankly has a lot of things on her plate. She not only has that sex scene in the beginning, so she has some appetites there. She fixes lunch for the kids. Then she goes around and is a CEO. She's kind of that woman who's got kind of everything working, and then an intern comes along and starts up on a little bit of an affair there. It is a hard movie to watch with kids around. I don't know if I could sit in the theater with people and see this because I'm just kind of a more of a modest person. Thankfully, I was able to see this in a different setting. But I guess it's one of those films that's going to have a real hard way finding its audience, mainly because of the subject matter. And it's in subject matter is going to make a lot of people cringe along the way. I'm not going to recommend you go out to the theater and check out Baby Girl. Sorry to Nicole. She's wonderful in it, but it's not something I would feel comfortable seeing in the theater. But in the privacy of your own home, everybody's got their own thing. And what it does do well is it shows that women who are at the top when it comes to being a CEO really have some challenges to get everything in order, whatever that thing is. And sometimes they can commit just as many of the weird things that men do. They're at the top. Baby Girl works to a point, but I would say see it at home.
Don't know if this is one that I'm going to find myself watching, but thanks
not
for
not by yourself though either, Ethan, because that's not going to look good.
Yeah, yeah,
you either, so.
No doubt about that. Yeah, you also Sue.
Go
ahead and tell us about any other upcoming movies that are releasing or what people can know about.
I was going to just mention Chiefsaholic is over on Amazon Prime, a documentary about the Chiefs super fan who ended up robbing some banks along the way. It's quite an interesting tale, this Wolf character and how things evolved around his life as a super fan. Everybody knew him as that, and it turned out he had a little bit of another past going on, and it's a fascinating couple-hour documentary for fans of football, for fans of the Chiefs, for fans of betting, you name it. This tells a neat documentary story. And as Sue mentioned earlier, they just announced yesterday, Wicked is coming home December 31st. It's one of those things that I think theater owners are going to be a little disappointed. It's still doing good box office business, but now you can watch it either place. And being that it's 2.5 hours long, roughly, a lot of you are going to need to see it at home. So sing along, enjoy your journey through Wicked, Wicked Part 1, as that is, before next winter's turn through Part 2 of this film.
Well, Paul, thank you so much for sharing all that good information. Be sure to find him at commonguy.com, and we look forward to talking to you next week, where I guess, oh my goodness, it'll be 2025. And I look forward to, hopefully, I'm going to have to tell Mark to put it on his radar, movies you're looking forward to most in 2025. So keep an ear out, having some thoughts on that. Sound good?
Oh, yeah. I got to do that, and I got to work on my year-end list, so I'll be working on both.
Frank Cusimano coming up next.
Get more at 971talk.com.